I want you to write this question down, not the answer, just the question, because I think it's a question that could provoke the Spirit of God speaking to you. And here's the question. What is a dream or a desire that God has put in your heart? Go ahead and write that down. What is a dream or a desire that God has put in your heart? Now, you might have the question, how do you know if a dream or a desire is from God? Well, a good way to know that is that desire, is it building God's kingdom or your kingdom? It's a good filter for those dreams and desires that God puts in us. But what I've observed is whenever there's a desire dream inside of us, there's usually a season of waiting. And so what I would love us to consider today, how can you engage with God with expectation and anticipation in a season of waiting? Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in a season of waiting, often there's this potential to misplace our confidence, or it can shake our confidence, or maybe put it into something else or someone else, or it can keep us frozen in life when we're in this season of waiting. And I believe today God does want to renew our confidence in Him. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're in part three of our Christmas series, going through Advent journey. And today is on joy, joy in the waiting. God is the source of our joy. And when God is the source of your joy, our joy, or His joy in us, will be our strength. That's why we can have joy in the waiting. And I hope these last few messages and how we've been focusing on peace and hope and peace, joy today, next week is love. I hope that it's been encouraging to you. I hope the devotional has been encouraging to you. By the way, just, I don't know, last week or so, I was in a conversation with Kelly and Alyssa, and I was just saying, you know, just asking them, I said, hey, have you guys read any good books lately? I'm interested in always looking for recommendations. And Kelly said, oh, she said, I just started this book, but she said, it's not that great. She said, I really like the author, but this book is just okay. And then Alyssa said, oh, are you talking about Dad's new Advent devotional? Always keeping me humble, which I need. But by the way, she wasn't talking about that. She's talking about a different book. But anyway, this devotional that we put out, that started as a desire to have some kind of tool for us as a church that we put together. When it comes to waiting isn't just passive. You have some kind of desire that you want to see accomplished that is alignment with God's kingdom. There's not just waiting around hoping something happens. It, what I would call active waiting. So when you have want to get your life aligned with God and His kingdom, if you're in a season of waiting, it's not just not doing anything. There are some things we can do. In the case of this devotional, you have to put it together. It takes time. There's effort. And we started back in August, putting that together until you see it. And kingdom assignments are very similar. Actively waiting in God's kingdom is very similar. The kingdom of God is advancing. God is moving. We see that. And God moves through people who are actively engaged with Him to advance His kingdom. And so we can have joy, the joy that is our strength. We can have it in a season of waiting. Now, what is joy? Simple definition of joy. We talked about this over the summer, but I want to make sure you know what it is. Joy is inner confidence that God will finish the good work He started in you. Philippians 1:6. I mean, that's what Paul talked about. The whole book of Philippians is about joy. And he says in Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this. The God who started the good work in you will be faithful to finish it until the day Jesus Christ returns. So joy is different from happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a calm confidence that God is working even when we don't see it. Now, this matters because all of us will walk through seasons where we don't necessarily see God at work. And we don't necessarily see the outcome we are hoping for or praying for. So what do you do in those seasons of waiting? Today, I want us to learn from Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And I just find it so interesting. Luke's gospel has way more detail about Zechariah than about Joseph, the father of Jesus. Joseph barely shows up in Luke's gospel. Yet we have all this detail about Zechariah. Now, what's significant about Zechariah, he did raise John the Baptist. He was given a kingdom assignment, but he didn't necessarily respond in the best way at first, but God gave him a second chance. So I want us to look at this story in his life. As I studied this, I just saw some things I just haven't seen before. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and let's let God's word speak to us. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. So this was not a dream or a vision. This was actually taking place. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Some key verses right there. "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Now let's see how Zechariah responded. He said to the angel, verse 18, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." It's just a nice way of saying she's also old. "Then the angel said, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time.'" God bless you. Let's get to know Zechariah and Elizabeth a little bit. What do we know about them? They were faithful. They were considered righteous in God's eyes. They were careful to obey all the Lord's instructions, and they were just showing up. Zechariah was just showing up like he was supposed to. You know, by the way, God often shows up and speaks when we are just showing up and are faithful. You see that pattern all throughout Scripture. So Zechariah was serving when Gabriel, this angel, appeared to him, and he was overcome with emotion. He was terrified, shaken with fear. And verse 13 and 14 are very important to understand. Gabriel's message was very clear to Zechariah. There was no ambiguity here. It's not like, oh, I wonder what he was trying to read through the lines. No, it's very clear. He said, God has heard your prayer. Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. This was a kingdom assignment. It also gives us an indication that they must have had a desire to have children, but weren't able to. A kingdom assignment. What is a kingdom assignment? Well, we got to first remember what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is the realm where Jesus is king. It's not an earthly kingdom. It is the realm where we bring our lives under the authority, the supreme authority of Jesus as king. And then a kingdom assignment, I'm gonna encourage you to write this down. A kingdom assignment then is your role in advancing God's reign. He invites us into having a part of that. It's amazing. So we know the kingdom of God is advancing with or without us, but God invites us to be part of it. And so Zechariah's kingdom assignment was very simple. You're gonna have a son, name him John, and raise him. That's it. But see how this is connected. Zechariah was to raise John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a very important kingdom assignment to point people to Jesus. He was like a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And then of course, Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So think about Zechariah's assignment. All he had to do was say, okay, I'm gonna name him John and raise him. You know, sometimes the greatest kingdom assignment is not what you do, but it's who you raise. The impact you can have on someone else. Then Gabriel says, this child is gonna bring great joy, gladness, and cause many people to rejoice. Great joy, gladness, and rejoicing. Now, is he just trying to say the same thing three different ways? No, those are three specific outcomes of fulfilling a kingdom assignment. Joy, we know joy is inner confidence in God, not in ourselves, in who God created us to be. That's joy. There's gonna be this inner confidence. What is gladness? Gladness is like an expression. Like when you receive good news, how does it impact your face or your voice? How do you express that? Like if someone told you you're gonna get $1,000 Christmas bonus, that's gladness. These are all the people who work at Worship Center. Now, if you were expecting a $10,000 Christmas bonus and you only got $1,000, maybe that would change it. But right, when you hear good news, there's gladness. It's an outward expression. Now, what is rejoicing? Rejoicing is praise. It's like this joy on repeat. It's like when you understand what God is doing, it's like you can't help but just, it rises up as praise to him. Joy, gladness, and rejoicing all pointing to this child named John. And that same joy and gladness and rejoicing, that's available to us as we step into God's kingdom assignment for each of us. Now, why is this so important? Because often stepping into a kingdom assignment is stepping into something that is unknown, uncertain, and uncomfortable. And we need the joy of the Lord to be our strength. And so what do we learn from Zechariah in this moment? Gabriel said, you're gonna have a son, name him John. And what was Zechariah's response? Five words. How can I be sure? And then he started listing all of the reasons why this wasn't gonna work. I'm too old. My wife is well along in years. Right, she's barren, she cannot conceive. I think you have the wrong person. What was going on here? Doubts. And doubts are an indicator, and I'd encourage you to write this down. Doubts often reveal misplaced confidence. That question, how can I be sure, is doubting what God said. Now, I don't want us to be too hard on Zechariah, because it's like, at first glance, it's like, you had an angel show up and give you your kingdom assignment? It's like, I would love an angel to show up and give me a kingdom assignment. How could he question that? But I get Zechariah, because my personality, I like proof. I like to make sure things make sense logically. And so when it comes to God's word, there's this tension that create for me internally. I see what God says, but then I see, you know, what's going on, and I can question, just like Zechariah did. Man, I remember a couple, I was probably 4 years into being lead pastor here. And we're like right in the middle of leading through COVID, and I was starting to get weary and a little beat down. And there was a time that I was walking through that, and I remember just starting all the insecurities that I knew I had, and then a lot that I didn't know I had. It seemed like they were all being exposed at the same time. And I started having these questions. I'm not visionary enough, or I'm too this, or not enough of that. And my personality, I don't have the right personality for this role. And I'm just like, just boring. Just like, I'm not charismatic. Just like, all those thoughts were coming to my mind. And I remember, I'll never forget the time I was walking through our neighborhood and doing a little prayer walk. And I was struggling internally and having this honest conversation with God, which I think is very important, to be honest with God in your prayer. And I remember kind of just processing this out loud in prayer. I didn't have any earbuds in. It was just like silent. And I'm talking out loud. I probably looked like I was talking to myself. Somebody was looking at me. But I remember just kind of struggling through this. And I remember saying this question, God, are you sure you have the right person for this role? Now, I know God is very compassionate and loving. That's kind of what I was expecting in return. But in that moment, I did not experience this love and compassion from him. I got this very clear impression. It wasn't audible, but it was undeniable response to that. God, are you sure you chose the right person for this? And what I sensed inside was God saying, Matt, when you question God, if he's sure, you're questioning if God knows what he's doing. Because when God speaks, he's sure. See, if you're questioning God, are you sure I'm not too old to be participating in doing something for you to work through me in your kingdom. If you're questioning that, you're questioning, can God do what his word says he can do? When you question, I'm too young. God, are you sure you chose the right person? I'm just too young. I think I need more, I need to be older in order for God to work through me. When you're questioning if he's sure, you're questioning if God knows what he's doing. When you're questioning if you've made too many mistakes, I guess God can't work through me because I've made too many mistakes. When you see God's word, he can redeem any situation. So if you're questioning that, you're questioning, does God really know what he's doing? I think that's why there was such a serious response for Zechariah in this moment. He questioned God, are you sure? And Gabriel said, no, I'm sure. Now your mouth is going to be closed because I don't want your words to come against the promise that God had put out. If you're a parent and you're questioning, God, I don't think I have what it takes to parent these toddlers or to parent these teenagers. I'm here to tell you, if you're questioning that, you're actually questioning God if he knows what he's doing, because God already gave you those children. And children are a gift and a reward from him. So if he's given them to you, he knows that you can handle it. You've got what it takes. If you want to be part of God's kingdom and want God to work through you to be part of his kingdom, how to advance his kingdom, take God at his word. When he speaks, he's sure and he wants to work through you. So when Zechariah responded that way, basically he's saying, oh, this promise, God, that you gave, it's just impossible. But you can look through scripture and God has already answered that question, if God can do it. So if you go back to Genesis, God decided he wants to raise up, start with a man, raise up a family that would turn into a nation to bring the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, into the earth. That would require husband and wife to have children. So who does God choose? He chooses Abraham and Sarah. What were their traits in that moment? They were both old and Sarah could not conceive. And God said, perfect, the perfect candidate, because now everybody's gonna know that this was not your doing, this was God working through you. And then Abraham and Sarah, they had a son named Isaac. Isaac marries Rebecca. She was barren. God's a perfect candidate. Because now people are gonna know that this seed that's going, getting passed from generation to generation, there's something miraculous about it. Isaac and Rebecca have a son named Jacob. Jacob gets married to Rachel. Rachel is barren. Same thing, until God intervenes. See, God chooses the unlikely. He does what seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You can go, there's many examples in the Old Testament up to Elizabeth. I mean, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, she wasn't barren, but for her to get pregnant because she didn't know a man, is a biblical way of saying that, she didn't know a man, yet God intervened and produce life inside, and that would be Jesus, the Son of God. God can do the impossible. What we view as impossible is no problem to God. When he speaks, he's sure. Zechariah doubted, and the angel muted his mouth for 9 months. Can you imagine when he finds out that Elizabeth gets pregnant, what was going through his mind, not being able to speak? It's almost as if God was saying, I want you to think about what you've done for 9 months, like you're in timeout. What's the longest you've ever not been able to speak? Have you ever gone an hour without speaking? Anybody? Ever 24 hours? How about a weekend? What happens when you can't speak? Even if you've lost your voice, you can still kind of whisper, but what would happen if you cannot literally speak? I bet your listening skills would improve. I bet your other senses would get very heightened. I bet when you are able to speak again, you would be very mindful of what words come out of your mouth. So him being silent for 9 months was a protection over this promise. 9 months later, the child was born. All the friends and neighbors and relatives were there and they just assumed that they were gonna name this boy Zechariah after the father. So they go to Elizabeth, is the son's name Zechariah? And she said, no, his name will be John. And they're like, oh, that's weird. Let's go confirm that with Zechariah. So they go over to Zechariah and they're like, what will the boy's name be? And he gets out a tablet and he writes it down and he writes the name John. And immediately he's able to speak. And the first words out of his mouth were praise to God. He got a second chance. So powerful. And then we have what is called Zechariah's song. And in this prophecy, Zechariah speaks out about the kingdom of God that is coming and how to participate in the kingdom of God. And these words are so powerful. I wanna go to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Then his father, this is after John was born, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has visited and redeemed his people. Zechariah knew something big was going on right now. Verse 69, he has sent us a mighty savior from the royal line of his servant David. So there's a kingdom here, right? There's a kingdom language being used. From the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Think about what Zechariah's prophecy, this song of prophecy, most likely he sung these words, even though it doesn't say that here. That's how a lot of these prophecies are. A lot of the prophecies in the Bible were actually sung, not just spoken. But think about what he was proclaiming, these powerful words. God has come to redeem. There's this covenant relationship that was promised, that God is fulfilling his promise that was stated hundreds of years, centuries before, that there's a king coming in the line of David. Light breaking into darkness, mercy triumphing over judgment. People are being set free to align their lives with this kingdom. And in all of this, this joy is growing. And that same joy, the same aligning our lives with the kingdom can produce joy in us. And I want to give you these three ways that joy can grow in our lives today. Number one, it starts with humility. Instead of asking, how can I be sure? What would it look like to say, I'm going to trust and obey? Humility is this response we're going to praise first. See, our human instinct is just to look around and just say, man, there's so many things that are wrong in our world. And there are. I mean, we could all just make a long list of everything that's wrong, right? Why'd they do that? Why'd they make that decision? How come this is going on? It takes effort to praise God first, to thank him first. Look for to God be the glory moments in your life. They're there. I'd encourage you to look for them and write them down. Reflect on them. That builds this heart of humility before God. Because humility turns a time of waiting into a time of worship. Humility, praise first. Number two, courage. We can be at a place where we can serve God without fear. What did Zechariah say? He said, God has come to rescue his people, to free his people so they can serve God without fear. Courage is rooted in God's rescue of our lives. It's not a personality trait. It's rooted in God's rescue. We can have courage against our enemies. Now remember, enemies are not flesh and blood. They are these spiritual forces of evil coming against the kingdom of God. And every time you are proclaiming who God is, to God be the glory, every time that you are serving God without fear, that pushes the forces of darkness, the evil back. That's the greatest way of spiritual warfare, is not just shouting at the devil. It is proclaiming your allegiance to Jesus Christ. God frees his people to align with his kingdom. Serve him with courage and confidence. And then number three, obedience. Walk in righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is just walking uprightly. That's what Zechariah said. He said, you can serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Righteousness is walking uprightly. Holiness is being set apart. You know, there's something higher to live for than just building your own kingdom. Humility, courage, and obedience. Put those in your life, joy is gonna grow. And that joy will be your strength. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. I wanna come back to that question. What is a dream or desire that God has put in your heart? Is it aligned with his kingdom? Maybe you have a desire to get married. You know, that's a God-given desire. Maybe you have a desire to have a child. It's a God-given desire. What would it look like to engage with God in anticipation and expectation while you wait? I want to give just a few moments just to allow the Spirit of God to speak into this. Because I'd love for us to learn from Zechariah. Instead of saying, how can I be sure? What would it look like to turn that into, I choose to trust and obey? How can we respond in faith? John chapter 15, verse 11, I want this scripture to just speak to us today. He's talking about the true vine, abiding in him, staying connected. Jesus says this. He said, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. And I read that and I just, being filled with his joy, that's the kind of joy I want. But think about what his joy was. He was heading to the cross. Yet it was the joy that was before him, honoring his father, obeying his father, the sacrifice that would lead to salvation. He had a calm confidence. That same joy that Jesus had, he said, I want you to be filled with that joy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would reveal Jesus to us. God, I do pray that confidence in you would be restored, renewed. God, forgive us when we have allowed the uncertainty of the world around us to shake or shape our confidence. Forgive us when we've looked to our own accomplishments or achievements for our confidence. God, may we look to you, walk in this confidence that you provided. Jesus said, my joy can fill you. So God, I pray that we would be filled with your joy today. It's a lasting joy. It's a joy that allows us to laugh without fear of the future. It's a joy that will be our strength in every situation. It's a joy that will point other people to Jesus. So I pray you would fill us today. In Jesus' name. God wants to move you from how can I be sure to I will trust and obey. What would that look like for you? And this week, as you're reflecting on God is the source of your joy, he's the God of joy, how could you allow him to fill you? I don't want to dismiss today without giving an invitation. If you're here and you've never received this gift of salvation, the gift that cannot be earned, there's nothing we do to deserve it. It is by God's grace. The Spirit of God opens our eyes to who He is. I've just seen it time and time again when people are like, man, I didn't know. How did I not know this? Well, the Spirit of God opens our eyes to truth, convicts our hearts of sin, leads us to repentance so that it's the pathway of eternal life. And on the other side of that repentance for our sin, there's reconciliation with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. He took the penalty for our sins we deserved, took it upon Himself, paid that penalty so that we could be free to serve God without fear. That's what Zechariah was pointing to. He's pointing to Jesus. So that invitation is for you today to receive this gift of salvation. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. It's just a starting point, acknowledging who Jesus is, acknowledging our need for repentance, acknowledging this moment of surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so would you bow your heads if you're ready to pray that prayer? I want to invite you to repeat it out loud, and I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. But would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. And Jesus, I believe You came to this earth. You died on a cross. You shed Your blood for me. You were buried in a tomb. But You rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And then You ascended to heaven. And You will return again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I repent of my sin, receive forgiveness, and I choose to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you sincerely meant that in your heart, the ushers have a Bible that we'd love for you to have. And it's just our way as a church to walk alongside you in this beginning stages of following Jesus. So would you have the courage and the boldness just to put your hand up unashamed of this moment until an usher sees you and they'll hand you that Bible? If you're watching us online, you need prayer, there's a way to contact us as well. We'd love to connect with you. And then after the service, we have a place called Connections to my right. If you received a Bible, or if you have some more questions about what it is to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to stop by there. Take that Bible there. We have some people there that would love to pray with you and talk with you, help you. Journey of faith following Jesus is not meant to be walked alone. That's why I love the local church. They come alongside and we grow together. I saw a couple hands go up, I think. Could we thank God for those who responded today? If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. Please feel free to come. Maybe you're struggling with this whole, feel like I'm too this or I'm too that for God to work through me. Have someone pray with you. We'd love to stand with you and pray. If you're a young adult, age 18 to 30, we have a space for you to my left. We'd love to help you get connected as well. And then next week, next Sunday, we're looking at the God of love. And that prepares us for Christmas Eve. All right, would you all stand, please? I don't want you to ever forget that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for His kingdom. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. You'd be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.